Kevin Frank is an associate professor in MSU's renowned Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences Department. For the sake of this conversation, he's also what we call a turf grass guru here at MSU. Kevin, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kevin, what kind of a summer are our lawns coming out of? It seemed like it was dry in the beginning, and we caught up with a lot of rain recently. Are there particular challenges for homeowners this fall?
Yeah, I think overall, for many people, this was a reality check for their lawns this summer. We came off of two summers where it was relatively mild, and we had, I think, adequate precipitation throughout most of the state. And then this summer is, I think everybody remembers, we were quite dry through probably June through into at least middle of July. And then we had plenty of rain in July, and I think August set some records around some areas of the state. And it really resulted in some interesting challenges because you had lawns that, especially if they weren't irrigated, probably suffered some drought and or heat stress. Portions of those lawns certainly went dormant, most likely. But then there were some other pests in there that did cause problems. So, for example, like some bluegrass billbug damage, which some of this type of damage isn't really obvious until the rains returned, and then people are wondering, why didn't my lawn green up again? You know, it was patchy in its green up. And not necessarily that you would go out and treat with insecticides or anything at this point for that type of damage, but it was something to kind of keep in mind possibly for next year if it recurs. But basically, I think where we're at right now is we're in recovery stage. I mean, the break that people had for mowing their lawn earlier this summer when it was dry, they're paying for it right now. It is growing quite robustly, and I've been joking back and forth with some of my colleagues and folks that you're probably on about a 4-day mowing interval right now.
I feel like it's spring again, Kevin.
Yeah, it is really going fast, and that's kind of a good thing because it is helping us recover from some of that injury we might have had. Now, there's going to be other challenges, I think, this fall, and one that I think most people have their eye on is grub damage. We were very dry during that early July period, which is particularly troublesome for European chafer grubs because those eggs tend to survive better in dry soils and kind of produce more prolifically, if that's a way to put it, when it's dry. So we had that perfect window in July. And I already have started to see some grub injury around this mid-Michigan area within the last 2 weeks. And I would expect, you know, if we stay dry, now it's kind of hit and miss. We're still getting some rain in September, but, you know, whether it's enough to kind of ward off the symptoms from grub injury depends. Because all the grubs are doing is eating the roots. So if you have enough rainfall, a lot of times that damage gets disguised and it doesn't really affect the turf. More often what we see the problem being is things like raccoons and skunks and maybe in ravens, like digging up the turf to get to the grubs and creating a lot of the what I call like secondary foraging damage.
Yeah, well, Kevin, you often talk about how fall is actually the best time to get your lawn ready for next year, not when most of us are thinking about it in March or April. Why is that the case? And then what are some things we should do in the fall?
Yeah, the two basic things I always point to in the fall are a fertilizer application and then fall broadleaf weed control. And the fertilizer application is generally very effective because, you know, our weather has switched now. The day length is getting much shorter. Plants are kind of by their nature are starting to store things in their crown and root regions where they grow from next year to get ready for, you know, the overwintering period. So a fall fertilizer application around this time generally doesn't promote a lot of additional top growth. It will help maybe fill over whatever damage you might have had from this past summer and make the lawn a little more dense going into next year and then hopefully get it off to a good start. And then with respect to the weeds, especially those tough-to-control broadleaf weeds, you know, whether that's dandelion or things like ground ivy, otherwise known as creeping Charlie, those types of weeds are very tricky to control during the summer or spring period because at that point they're kind of pushing all their growth to the tops, you know, they're flowering. And in some respects, like especially this summer with as dry as we were and hot, they can be very difficult to try to get any herbicide to control them. Whereas in the fall, usually put it down, it goes with a downward storage of other nutrients and energy reserves, for example, and really tends to kill that weed, so you don't have to deal with it next year. And it's for those that get on that schedule, there's a lot of true believers out there that that's the time to control those broadleaf weeds. And when I say the time, it's any time from now through could be middle of October even. And biggest thing to kind of remember, I guess, with that is just obviously when we do get to that point of leaves starting to fall off trees, you would obviously want to make sure that leaves aren't on the surface before you tried to kill any of those weeds.
Well, and Kevin, that reminds me of another topic worth reminding our listeners that you mentioned too. Just as you suggest during the heart of the growing season, don't pick up the clippings. That's natural fertilizer. If you can keep up reasonably with the leaves, you suggest the same thing, right? Mulch them up. It's good fertilizer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you said, it's basically free fertilizer. There's nutrients in there. It's usually just a matter of folks being able to keep up with leaf drop. And certainly it depends on your lawn size. You know, if you have huge oaks or maples out there in the lawn, you're probably not going to be able to mulch all those leaves into the lawn. But if you're able to do it and get them ground up, a lot of people look at it after they mow over them at first and think, wow, this is going to be way too much. I'm going to smother the turf. But mostly, you know, you get one like rainfall event and you kind of go out there and go, where'd they all go? I mean, they just kind of disintegrate into the canopy.
Kevin Frank is my guest. He's an MSU turf grass specialist. And there's a lot more about everything we've talked about prepping your lawn now for next year, turf.msu.edu. And Kevin, I know you and your colleagues also do a lot of work on Michigan's golf courses and frankly beyond Michigan. As I started the conversation asking you kind of how our lawns have done, what kind of a year has this been for our golf courses?
I think it's been very challenging. That combination of dry starting off the summer, in many cases dry for golf courses is not necessarily a bad thing because it's usually not in conjunction with high disease activity, which is, of course, one of the biggest challenges all golf courses face. So although when it's dry, you know, the roughs might not look perfect, but if you hit it over there, the ball rolls further. So some people like that. But then when we got into that latter part of July and August with those high temperatures, high humidity, too much rain in some areas, the turf was not looking necessarily perfect on the golf courses, especially, you know, the high play areas of putting greens and some areas of the fairways maybe that don't drain well. So I think, as with lawns, now that we're well into September, it's been a good recovery for golf courses. Of course, the one bane that most golf courses dread is when they see the golf course superintendent aerating greens, but that is really a necessary evil, if that's a way to put it, to help those greens be successful going forward. Stopping aerification or not doing it is generally not something we'd ever recommend. It helps the soil breathe, helps eliminate organic matter in those greens so you have a firmer, smoother surface going forward.
Kevin Frank, as you and your colleagues in MSU's renowned turf grass program kind of look 5 or 10 years down the road, what are some of the challenges and opportunities in your industry?
You know, I think the industry continues to do, this is a kind of a common saying, you know, less or do more with less, I guess, and that's going to continue to be the trend going forward. I think we're getting better genetics in a lot of the grasses we have, and you're seeing that on golf courses now. Many golf courses trying to renovate putting greens, for example, and change the, not necessarily the species of grass, but just like, you know, in layman's terms, you'd almost say like the brand of grass, something that's more tolerant of the environmental conditions. And I think those will continue to be big steps forward as we move through the next 5 to 10 years. And, you know, just the efficiency with how everything is done, the equipment and everything that goes out there on not only the golf course, but athletic fields. And all that technology ultimately filters down to the home lawns, which most people are more in touch with on a regular basis.
So, Kevin, as we wrap up, summarize those fall lawn care tips for those lawns you're talking about.
Yeah, fall lawn care tips, I'd make it real simple. You know, if you haven't fertilized in a while, I'd go out there and give it a dose of fertilizer to make sure it has some food through the rest of fall, which can be good recovery weather, and it'll help it next spring. And fall broadleaf weed control. You know, anything that you struggled to kill throughout the summer that took over your lawn when it comes to a broadleaf, hit it in first couple weeks of October, and I think you'll have very good results. And don't forget, give it a whirl to try to mulch up those leaves.
That's Kevin Frank. He's my turf grass guru from MSU's renowned turf grass program. He's an associate professor in MSU's Plant, Soil, and Microbial Sciences Department, and a lot of his research is funded by our good friends too at MSU Ag Bio Research. Again, the website for more, turf.msu.edu. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.